Please turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. As you're turning there, we just want to make sure everyone is aware. Thanks to the next phase of Prince George's County's reopening, we will be able to meet together in person at the church building next week. And so we look forward to seeing everyone again. This is a wonderful answer to prayer. And we continue to pray together that the Lord would watch over us, that He would keep us, that we would be able to approach everything with wisdom for everyone's safety. Measures are being taken so that we can guard everyone's health in this time. And more information will be coming early this week, so please watch our Facebook page and website for that. But we do praise God for the chance to meet together again, the moment we've been waiting for. And we trust it'll be a special and sweet time of fellowship. For those who cannot make it, our live stream will continue. And so please do continue to join us. But for those who can, we hope to take advantage of this opportunity to draw near, to come together, and to worship the Lord together and grow together, as the church is specially designed to do. It's not meant to simply be over the internet. It's the joy of coming together in person. Hopefully you're in Psalm 119. Today's message is called The Way of Purity. The Way of Purity. And as we study this together, look forward to taking a dive into such an important subject. Let's look at Psalm 119. We'll be focused on one verse today, Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your plan. Lord, it's a challenge, this time of life. And even when we don't have extra health concerns going on all throughout the world, Lord, life is challenging. It's tough to navigate, tough to fight against our own desires, tough to fight against the way of so many around us. And Lord, there's so many good things in life because you have created, and you are the giver of every good thing. And yet, Lord, we can get it backwards, and we can make those good things the ultimate, and we can use those good things in the wrong way. We can pursue them the wrong way. And so, Lord, we ask that you would work in our hearts this morning as we look at your word through this week, as we apply it, but at all times as we seek to guard our way according to your word. Lord, we need your help. We need you to show us the way. We need you to change our hearts. We need you to continually work in us so that we would be renewed every day by your power, especially the power of your word, the power of your spirit working in us with your word. Lord, help us this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Psalm 119, as we open and we look at one single verse, it's actually the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's 176 verses. It's a special chapter that each stanza of eight Bible verses all start with a letter of the alphabet. So the first eight start with the Hebrew letter Aleph, and the next eight start with the Hebrew letter Bet. And so we're in the, and it'll continue to go all through the alphabet, a special acrostic poem. And we're focused on verse 9 this morning, but also as we grab one out of 176 verses, it is a Bible chapter focused especially on God's Word itself. And the neat thing about that, we think, okay, how much can you say about the Word of God? And using eight different terms to refer to God's Word, this psalmist is able to give us 176 different verses meditating on the beauty of it, celebrating the beauty of it, talking about how sweet it is and how he desires it. And in this verse, he's going to ask a question that brings him back to another focus on it. So many different angles of God's word to realize the many benefits, the greatness of it, to equip our lives and to make sure we are focused on what matters most. And so the focus of this verse right now is purity. Purity. And It's an amazing thing because I don't think it's a topic that comes to mind often in our daily lives, but it is something we ought to wrestle with. And right now, in the current health pandemic, purity comes to mind in a different way. The world's in a joint effort and collective pursuit to purify society in order to avoid germs and to keep out COVID-19. Focus on washing your hands for 20 seconds. Do it the proper way with soap. We need the disinfectants. We need the sanitizers. These are being invented to properly disinfect and completely sanitize whole things just to make sure all the possible coronavirus germs are gone. And such an asymptomatic virus at times that we want to make sure where we don't see it, we can get rid of it and protect ourselves. Well, again, this verse, Psalm 119:9, urges a pursuit of purity. It's talking about a way of life founded on the value of purity and the pursuit of purity, moving in that way. Most would read this in regard to sexual purity, and that is to abstain from sexual immorality. Now, that's a very important part of this, and that's what might come to mind all the time when we think of purity, and it's an important part. But there's also so much more in this verse. So we're going to skim that at times, but it's not going to be the major focus. Now, if that's a struggle in your life, and I think it's always something we need to examine ourselves in and seek to grow in, don't miss that important application, but don't narrow it to only that. So I encourage you in that way as we focus on this purity. As we talk about purity here, it's one of holiness. That's been an important emphasis of ours as we've studied together. Looking at Deuteronomy 6, looking at Hebrews 12, that we would fulfill the greatest commandment to love the Lord our God by pursuing holiness, that we would run the race, looking to share in God's holiness. And here, the question is, how can a young man keep his way pure? This purity, the idea of holiness, so that we can keep out corruption, that we can avoid defilement, that is, avoiding sin, but also, on the flip side, an active engagement in living for God's honor. Not just saying no to everything I want to enjoy, not just a no, not this, stay away, and that's a struggle right now, but finding deeper meaning in greater things. And that's important because we get a picture right now of the coronavirus and the society's reaction to that, and many people who are not familiar with what it is to follow Scripture, and maybe some who are Christians still get that same kind of picture in their mind and see Christianity and the idea of biblical purity in much a similar fashion to the world's reaction to coronavirus. That Christians, they have to shut down their lives, that they have to quarantine from the world and social distance, isolating themselves from sinners so they don't catch that infection of sin that they have. That they avoid the world like a plague, and that they don some sort of spiritual hazmat suit and encounters with others in fear that the world will taint them, avoiding people like the plague or like COVID-19. But it's different than that, and we need to come to terms with how we live in a world that is saturated with sin, but we don't pattern ourselves after the world. We don't hunker down and get away, but we don't follow the patterns. We don't conform to the world. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a great study just to look at that in itself. But sin is not a viral contagion. It's a volitional choice. It's something I consciously choose to do. It doesn't happen because I wander in to a place that it's asymptomatic and showing no symptoms of it, and I by chance happen to touch something that infects me. I choose, and I'm filled with it from my heart already, but then I choose to willfully sin. And I have to recognize that so that my guard isn't against sinners. My guard is in order to resist sin. So I must choose a way in life. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young man cleanse his way? It's a choice, a path. Which way will I take? I must choose my way. What will I pursue? How will I build my life? Where do I want to end up? And how will I get there to wherever it is that I want to go? So these are choices I make, and this ought to be a prayer of yours and of mine, that and an intention to pursue purity, that you and I I should want to build a pure life on God's word. That's what I'd like us to see today. And there's going to be three important emphases from this verse alone that is patterned off of the rest of Scripture. But as we study this verse, as we memorize it this month, we can commit ourselves to in order to grow in this way of purity. And the first emphasis is this, that we would desire purity. Desire purity. We have to ask an important question. Do I really care? Do I want to keep my way pure? It can be a struggle. Why would I want to focus on that concern when there's so much more to care about? Well, take a step back for a moment. If we think about a physical cleanliness, in daily life, we generally want to look clean and feel clean, right? And a good shower is a great way to start the day. It's refreshing, and it's both motivating and energizing to start the day clean and ready. Perhaps you've followed a different pattern during shutdown, and you maybe get up later, hunker over to the shower later on, or maybe you've skipped it for a couple days. But we want to be on a pattern of physically, yes, but even deeper, spiritually, in our hearts and lives, to get the fresh way all the time. We have the confession that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So getting regularly right with the Lord, recognizing sin, confessing it, forsaking it, letting God forgive us and cleanse us, and that's God's promise to us. But it's an intentional choice. I have to want it. We have to want purity. And the question here assumes that desire. Consider that for a moment. How can a young man keep his way pure? Well, I want to. I'm just struggling with it. It's complicated. It's hard. It's difficult because I struggle with other desires. I struggle with other patterns. I struggle with getting off path. So I need to stay on the course so that I keep my way in the way of purity. But I have to want it, right? And if we're asking why would I want it? Well, you and I should care because we're tired of sin's impact on our lives. Take a look at your daily life. Take a look at the trajectory. Take a look at the struggles you've gone through. And if you can honestly blame your conflict on your problems on everybody else except for yourself, and as you examine yourself, well, I think that'll be very difficult to do. We're often responsible for much of our struggles. And yes, things do happen to us that are on other people, but even that is a problem of their sin. And so sin all around us ought to make us recognize we're tired of sin's impact on our lives. You know, there's no sin in heaven, and that's what makes it so desirable. The absence of sin and the presence of the Holy One, the presence of the Pure One, God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So being with Him forever without sin is the beauty of what we look forward to. And if there's no sin in heaven, why would I want to participate in any way right now? Seriously, because I hate the problems of sin. Others sin against me, and how my sin harms my relationships, causes my problems, and the emptiness that sin leaves in me. So you have to consider that and realize that's great motivation to desire purity. And I have to then emphasize that desire of purity over the other desires, the other appetites that I'll struggle with. And those temptations can really lure us in and catch us. The lure of temptations and lusts, such as sexual immorality, the desires of sex in our lives, the desires of other things like food that can start to control us, the desire for alcohol, the desire for money, the desire for shopping, the desire for power, the desire for fame, and all these things can impact us, draw us in, and totally throw us off course. In fact, we're urged in Ephesians 4:22, a great passage about change, Ephesians 4:22-24. Ephesians 4:22 says to put off your old self. the way you used to be. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, He's made you new. You have a new identity as one who belongs to Him. You're a child of God. And in that new identity then, you're not perfect. He counts you as perfect. And one day in heaven, you'll be away from the presence of sin and enjoy that perfection in a new way. But now, you've got the power to resist sin. So put off all those old ways, put off that old self. Don't dress yourself in that, in your patterns anymore, which is corrupted, he says, by deceitful desires. Corrupted by deceitful desires. I don't want to follow those old ways. Yes, I might be tempted to look at someone that I ought not look because that's not my spouse. I might be tempted to take even further action on that if I've entertained that desire for long enough, and it can lead down a wrong path. I might be tempted to let food control my life. And we like to downplay that, but it's not about weight so much as how am I controlled by these desires? How am I controlled by my love for food, my love for sex, my love for fame, my love for any of this, money, shopping, what I give my life to, that I'm pursuing that, and that's where I'm looking for satisfaction, that's what I'm controlled, and it starts to taint me. It throws me off the way of purity. It throws me off my focus on God, and it starts to run my life. And the natural, as we talk about desires, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to be told what to do. And there's a desire for freedom. And especially in America, where we are the land of the free, that's a value of ours. But the Bible says that freedom isn't in rejecting the commandments of God. Freedom is in following His commandments. Because I'm set free by my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm set free from the slavery of sin. And I'm set free to live for God. And I don't realize until I really wrestle with that how much these desires control me. And so, yes, we need to desire purity in order to build a pure life on God's Word. The second emphasis in this verse is that we start young. Start young. The question is, how can a young man keep his way pure? Now, let us be careful to say, well, that's not for me because I'm older in life, or I'm not even male. I don't think the emphasis here is on gender, because if we generalize this truth, an old man can keep his way pure by guarding it according to God's word. If you're young or old and female, you can keep your way pure by guarding it according to God's word. So there's special thrust as this young man here is meditating to himself, and this is a prayer. The Psalms are prayers and songs that help them to refocus themselves. Often it's a wrestling with their own struggles and turning their attention back to God. And in the midst of this prayer, he's contemplating, how can I, a young man, keep my way pure? And he prays and turns back to God and says, by guarding according to your word. And so there's a motivation to remind himself to meditate on the loveliness of God's word and the power of it in his life. But don't generalize to the point where you disqualify the power of this verse for yourself. But at the same time, there's an important need for us to start young. To start young. And if we think about children are adults in training. I think we looked at that in our Deuteronomy 6 study. Children are adults in training, and even as they move into their teen years, they're taking up the baton from parents to take their lives up and get ready to now make important decisions for themselves. They're getting ready to graduate in that training for all the decisions, but even children are constantly making decisions that will shape their lives. And so as parents, we're talking to our children about decisions made, and we remind them, the patterns you're choosing now will affect you someday when you're living on your own, when you're married, wherever you might be, that you want to learn now the right patterns. Because if you don't, you're going to struggle someday, and your relationships are going to be the same unless there's change. And we don't want to put it off as, well, I want to live selfishly now, I want to choose my way now, and someday I'll get to that, because it gets harder as we go. It's not impossible, Until death, it doesn't become impossible to change, because with God, all things are possible. But I don't want to delay what I can do now. And I'm urged, how can a young man keep his way pure? That you don't have to be at least 18, at least 30, or well into your years to finally get it and be able to get on the right track. We can train our children now how to live a pure, clean way before God. And many of these temptations, they don't struggle with the same way. We don't have to talk to our children about sexual immorality or alcohol or even money right now, those kind of problems. And at the same time, we are training them for some of the mindset of purity to train them to the desires they have, whether it's fighting over toys, whether it's recognition from one another, the way they've treated, and so the way they respond in all of that, to live a pure way, a pure response that honors God and sets themselves apart for the right path. There's still a right path in all of that, and if they can learn some of that now in the decisions they're facing, even at 5 years old, they're already well underway for being able to be equipped with God's word for the bigger temptations of life. But all of them are enough to bring us down. Any one sin is enough to buckle us under its weight, because sin breaks our relationship with God. So we can start right now to realize the gravity of sin. We can start right now to realize the benefits of purity and to pattern our decisions off of that. See, no one starts with a clean slate. We understand from Scripture, the Bible says things like, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've got Romans 3:23 and Romans 3:10. Verses like Romans 5:12 that reminds us that we're all born with sin. We're natural sinners. It's passed through us, and that's not an excuse. It's not a, well, I'm a sinner, and so I'm going to, what can I fight it anyways? But it's a realization that I've got a sin nature in me, that I've got evil already growing inside of me, and I desperately need God to purify me. I need His word to guide me. So Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin, right? There's a recognition. And it's talking about the reign of sin and the reign of death. So again, those desires, if we don't want to be controlled by anybody, then recognize the control of your desires, even at a young age. And we can point at every single one of our children and see, well, here's an area of their lives where sin is reigning, where this desire is controlling them. And that's a weak area where they can fall apart over that. And so they need to grow in that. Well, as I see in my children, I'm not exempt myself. And I've got my weak areas, and all of it, I'm in desperate need of God to help me to keep my way pure, to cleanse my way. So no one starts with this clean slate, but we can start early in life to make right decisions. I don't need, if you're young and saying, well, I want to live my life, I want to experience some of this, I don't need to experience the pleasures and destruction of this world in order to really appreciate the joys and assurances of God's right path. Start early, start young, start now. And even if you're older and you've failed in so many ways, again, we've got the forgiveness readily available that God has promised. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that you can still get on the pure way and start to pattern your life in that way now. It's not too late to head in that direction. Please start, but please don't wait. Start now. We get as we think about these, being a youth, 2 Timothy 2, Paul's urging Timothy as he commissions him to, in verse 22, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So again, we're put in a spot where we get to look at our desires, those passions, those things we long for, and don't just be controlled by, well, I'm young, and so I'm going to chase after those things. No, there is a steady way. There is the footsteps of the path of purity, the way of purity before me, so that, as the verses before it said, If anyone cleanses himself from what's dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. I get to be useful to the Lord, that he will use me, and I want to live for his purposes. If I only have one life to live, do I want to make the most of it with the pleasures of this world, or do I want to enjoy a fuller joy? And it might seem like you might not be able to comprehend. I know I'm only beginning to comprehend the joy of following the Lord, but it's so much better than even the pleasures of this life. It doesn't mean we don't enjoy, we don't have pleasure in this life. God gives us a greater pleasure in following him. We still get to enjoy good things like food. We get to enjoy the proper marital relationships. We get to enjoy the good gifts that God gives, but in the proper way. So I encourage you to reflect. The road that you're on, this road that I'm on, where does it go? Where does it end up? How will it end? Is this the road I want to be on? See, there's a major difference between living for today's pleasures, the youthful passions that oppose and corrupt purity, between that and building a life of meaning, pursuing God's purpose for me. So yes, let us start young. And the third emphasis to building a pure life on God's word is to take charge. To take charge. So the question has been asked, how can a young man keep his way pure? The answer, by guarding it according to your word. So this word here, another translation, by taking heed according to your word. The idea is attentive watch, but almost a warning at times. Beware. Attentive watch, a guard. It can have the idea of keeping within bounds, like staying on the path, or like bowling bumpers. I want to stay on the path that God has given me. Another within the realm of its use is the idea of to have charge of. And in Genesis 2:15, it's used, and this is just one occurrence in that way. But the Lord God took the man, so he's created Adam and Eve. He's taken Adam and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it. So he's created Adam and he puts him in the garden to work it and keep it. And the idea here is that he's given him a stewardship. He's in charge. This is for him to care for, but to have charge of, to care for as a steward. So when we think about it in that way, by taking heed according to your word, by taking charge, by caring for it according to your word, it gives us a broader picture that it's not just simply defense, trying to take God's word and block out all the bad in my life, but that I'm choosing a way. It's not just avoidance. It's an active engagement to live biblical truth and pursue biblical truth with my life. Just like caring for a garden means both weeding, taking out the bad, and cultivating, preparing for growth. It's all part of it. So choose a way. Take charge. Be ready. Actively engage. And choose a way. What will I pursue? Choosing my way as a steward. I'm given this life by God who desires and enables purity. I have a stewardship in my life. It belongs to God, but I am piloting my decisions. So I do need to be careful of the bad. I need to set boundaries to avoid temptation and compromise. Now, I can make good decisions about how to make sure that I'm not in a position where my desires will run free and I will end up in a bad situation. So there is guarding going on, that I should guard my thoughts. I need to check myself. How am I thinking? What am I thinking about? Colossians 3:1 says to set my mind on the things that are above, not on the things of this earth. If I see things properly from God's perspective, I can think about it God's way. I can think according to his truth. I also ought to guard my beliefs. If we go back to the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, and I believe this is a historical event, not just a nice story for us to learn from, that this really did happen with the real first man and woman, that they sinned against God, and that was the first sin, and that's where Romans 5:12 says, through them sin entered the world, and we have the evidence of sin all around us, with tragedy, with death, with evil, with suffering, that it's evident in our lives. But I have to guard my beliefs. What I believe matters. And Adam and Eve didn't trust God. They believed a lie that God is withholding good from them, and they fell off the course. Well, there's so many beliefs that can creep in to my thinking, to what I believe in my heart, that can get me off that course. So I have to guard my beliefs according to the Word of God. What's true? Not what man can think of. Not what I can understand by science alone. No, no. Bible actually confirms much of science and denies much other areas of science, depending on what science uncovers. But my starting point is the lens of God's Word. That is the truth that I believe. That is the what tells me what's right. It's how I delineate what's good and bad. It's how I can understand who God is, and it's how I can understand what God wants me to do. So guard my beliefs. Guard what's being input into me as well. What are you filling your day with? Are you filling it with all kinds of TV and all kinds of radio and all kinds of news that imprint on our hearts the ways of the world? Now, there is a place for TV and radio and news and all of that, but are you balancing that with being fed by the Word so that you can make sure that that's the lens by which you understand? And, of course, guard yourself from situations so that you're making sure you're not putting yourself in a place where you're setting temptation before you. Beware of your situation. Now, we pray, we ask God for help, we want to live the right life, but if I'm not careful, I can put myself in a place of compromise where I'm just creeping toward the edge. And as I ask God for help, I'm still consciously making a decision without surrendering to all His Word and the truth that He's placed before me that I can cling to and live out. Now, so I've got to guard all of these, but I also can create patterns and habits that emphasize positive priorities. What I believe, that I will do, and I'll start to get used to. As I was talking about a child being an adult in training, all of us are training in this life, so I can build those positive priorities with the patterns I create, learning to trust God in the little things, taking a step of faith to choose not to participate in something friends might be doing, not to watch something that might put me in a place of temptation, not to eat something that might capture me in a bad habit. So some of those might not be wrong in themselves, but it might be a step in the wrong direction by which I'm compromising and not guarding myself. But I can create patterns and habits for positive priorities. So we need to pursue the Word of God. We have to hunger for it. And we have to make sure we're doing the work to convert it from head to heart. That I hear it, that I see it, that I think about it, but not just in concept, that I believe it and love it, so that from there it takes root and grows through me from my mouth, my hands, and my feet to take action. So these three emphases from the verse help us to build a pure life on God's Word, that I do desire purity, that I do start young, start right now, don't delay. And then I'll take charge, that I will care for this life that God has entrusted to me to live according to the way that He's given to me to do. It's so worth it. I must choose a way in life. What will I pursue? How will I build my life? Where do I want to end up? And how will I get to where it is that I want to go? Do I want my life patterned after a pursuit of sexual desire? Do I want my life patterned after trying to make it matter, by trying to get famous, by hungering for people's approval, by filling an emptiness with alcohol, by filling an emptiness with shopping? Any of these and much more can be on the path of the wrong pursuit in which I'm left empty. Or I can build a pure life on God's Word and find the fullness and meaning that God gives as I do so. Let's pray. Father, You are good. Your Word is good. And Lord, this life, there's so many good things in it. But there's a better life. You offer to us eternal life, abundant life. Not when we try to earn it. It's not simply by keeping it, by doing things, Lord. We keep Your Word by first trusting You. So we can't earn anything from You. We can't earn salvation. Lord, it's a gift by faith, trusting in Jesus as Savior and seeing the forgiveness that's offered, and Lord, having a hope, an eternal hope, and living the fullness of this life now as we enjoy following your word. Lord, help us to trust, to believe who you are and what you've done. Help us to love the pure way, to love honoring and pleasing you, and to love the benefits that we don't end up in the emptiness of the sin we pursue, the temptations we pursue, or even making good things more ultimate than than who you are and the way you've given us to follow. Lord, help us that we do want to keep our way pure. So help us to guard it according to your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us again today. We look forward to meeting together in person next week, so please join us. But if you cannot, again, we'll be on live stream. Many blessings, and we'll be praying for you this week. May you realize the help of this verse, that we can keep our ways pure by guarding our ways according to God's word. God bless.